Yeah. And God said, let there be. All right. So, pure doctrine and holy life. How many have pure doctrine? You know that it's not by your works, but by God alone. That God does everything, but only God is good. And none is good but God. None is good but God. None is good but God. None. Jesus said that. So since none is good but God, then you're not good. And you'll never be good. Even after you're a Christian, you're still not good. You're in Him who is good, and Him who is good is in you. So that's the secret right there. And many people mess up on that. They think that man can do something. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, everything is Him. Everything is Him. So He does it all. You can't even hit the ball straight. Did you know that? You can't. No matter how much. You got to know how to do it. All right. The third thing is a free church. This one is the one in our day that is being argued about. And I'm going to address that today. The churches have to be absolutely, totally, 100% free. They cannot even in one iota be subject to the state. They can't be subject to any other God, any other voice, any other Lord. You can only have one head. Jesus is the head of the church, period. Can't share His headship. So there's no way. You have to render to Caesar as an individual, but as a church you render nothing to Caesar. As an individual you render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But unto God what belongs to God. But as a church you render everything to God. Every penny that comes in, every chair that's here, everything we use, everything we have, we don't own. We own nothing. That's actually why we're here. That's actually why we're in this building. We're in this building because our name is on nothing. Nobody even knows who we are. We don't even have a name. There's no name in the Bible. There are no names to any churches, Old Testament or New. Nor is there any address. The only way people could know where the church was to ask another believer. There was no way you could find out where the church was, other than generic things, the Church of Rome. How many know that's no address? The Church of Rome, the Church of Dallas, the Church of Fort Worth, it's nothing. It's generic. Or it's descriptive. The church that meets in our house, but that's a house church. But there are no names, like First Church of Jerusalem. There's no names. So you cannot have a name. You have to be free. And the government understands that because the minute you have a name, you belong to them. You belong to this world. So God supplies all your needs. He defends you. He prospers you. He takes care of you. And you are invisible in this world. Now, not that people can't see you or see a building you're using, but they can't see you because there's nothing direct. You're like light and salt, which is indirect to this world. Okay, you're the light of the world. They don't know that. They feel they're rather well enlightened without you. As a matter of fact, they feel you're the darkness. Amen? And so God wants to separate His church and make sure that it's absolutely, totally, 100% separated. And I'm going to tell you something today because Christians think we're still a Christian nation. You are not a Christian nation. You will never be a Christian nation. You cannot be a Christian nation. No nation on earth can ever be Christian or even godly. The only thing it can be, the only thing it can be, is an holy nation. That's the church. 1 Peter 2:9. And you are a royal priesthood and holy nation. The only holy nation in the Bible is the church. The church of Jesus Christ is a holy nation. Can't have another one. Now, big arguments about that, and I'm going to get into it in a minute. And I'm going to use all the founding fathers to prove that you cannot have a Christian nation. That they did not set up a Christian nation. They set up deliberately a secular of this world nation, because all nations are of this world except the church. All nations are of this world. Abraham was the one who said, I'm looking for a city with foundation. And the city he went to was Jerusalem. But the nation itself is not holy. You remember Israel tried the holy nation thing. There was only one problem with the holy nation. They had a holy God with a holy law. They had a holy everything except the holy people. So, holy land, holy God, holy law, holy, holy, holy. But the only problem is the holy people weren't holy. Well, without a holy people, you can't have a holy land and a holy God and a holy law to make a holy nation. You got to have people. I mean, know that people make nations. Kings don't make nations. You have a king with no people, you have nothing. A king without a kingdom needs people, not just lands and laws. So you have to have lands, laws, and people. Now, God set up the church to be the light to this world. The light to this world. So, I'm a prophet. I'm prophesying this morning. I'm telling you right now, there will never be a Christian nation. We will always be a secular nation as it was set up by God's will and by the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you scripture, then I'm going to give you the founding fathers to prove that not only was Texas founded that way, but so was our United States as a national government. It was set up to be entirely secular, that is, of this world. Why? Because it's going to perish. America will not go to heaven. It will perish. We are secular, we are temporal, and we are common. The reason why we can get along with Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims and witchcraft people and whoever else wants to be in this country is because we're secular. We're of this world. So the things we do politically, the political house, is built upon a foundation that is religious and moral, but that's the foundation and not the house. The political house is for all men. And God wants nations for all men. And they aren't just for Muslims, as in Saudi Arabia. That is a Muslim nation. As Europe, and most of Europe, all of Europe at one time, was Christian nations. In fact, Britain was a Christian nation, and still is to this day, by the way. It's a Christian nation. It has other people in it, but they just tolerate them. But the truth is, it's a Christian. Formally, America decided not to go that way. And they fought against the British Christian nation idea and explicitly said so. Explicitly said so. I'm going to read you some things this morning to prove that the founders did not build a nation set on God. The church has to be free. A bride without spot. Spot means in any way stained with this world. Or wrinkle, or any such thing. So, if the nation were godly, because it's built on a godly foundation, there's no problem. But it can't be Christian. Otherwise, we'd all take communion. It cannot be Christian. Now, Christians can be in the nation, but they cannot be of the nation. Insofar as you're a Christian, you're not of the nation. Insofar as you have two citizenships in you, one citizenship serves the left hand of God and the right hand of God, the two hands of God. Always on his right hand is the church, Christianity. Always on his right hand. Always on his left hand is the civil power. Always. Throughout the scriptures, God never mixes these things up. Benjamin. Lou, you know this. Benjamin. Ben means son of. Yamin means right hand. Benjamin. That means son of the right hand. That is always the church. The church is always Benjamin, son of the right hand. But the left hand, that is Somel. It's a totally different word. Ben Somel. That would always mean on the left hand, in other words, this world, replying to everybody. So only a few are on the right hand, the saved. The redeemed, the holy ones. They are holy, spiritual, and eternal. These are never holy, never spiritual, never eternal. These are always common versus holy. These are always spiritual. These are always secular. These are always eternal. These are always temporal. Never the two shall meet. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So, what God has joined together is that this is the foundation for this. Those are together. But Christianity is a particular, and a particular can never be joined to this, so they're separated forever. Now, what God has separated, let no man put together. Whatever God joins is forever joined. For example, in marriage, you're joined forever to the horrible husband and wife you have. No matter how bad they are, you're joined to them forever in God's sight. Forever just means as long as time exists. So, you are joined forever. Isn't that awful? Isn't that sad? You're stuck. You're stuck. As far as God's concerned. Now, of course, he knows people do divorce. He made provision for that. But he doesn't want it. Why? Because he wants you to grow up. Better to grow up. Better to grow up. I mean, no, it's tough. It's hard. God deliberately made it tough and hard. He wants your husband or wife not to be perfect. He deliberately set that up that way. This family knows, right? Am I right or what? All right. So, you don't have to be happy. If happiness is your goal, you're a pagan. If happiness is your goal, happiness is a fruit. It's not a goal. What you want is truth. and the truth will set you free. Anybody can make it in any marriage. All you have to do is die. All you have to do is be dead. Be dead to this world and alive to God in Christ. Happy is the man who trusts in the Lord, right? Not trusts in your husband or your wife. You don't have to have a wife that obeys. How many don't have one? You know, you don't have to have that. You don't have to have a husband who's reliable. You don't have to have a husband. Is your husband reliable? No. Perfect. Amen. I love it. Therefore, you have to have a God. Otherwise, you'd be miserable. Because you'd be trying to control him at all times. You see? Ah, how relaxing. Just to let God give you a gift. Now, you are a gift to Tom. That's what God says. He may not know that, though. So you have to tell him, Tom, I am a gift to you. Go ahead, say it. Look right at him.
I'm a gift to you.
Amen.
There's no humor in this, Tom. And I am a gift of God to you.
And I am a gift of God to you.
There we have. We've fixed it. Now it's fixed. You all understand how simple it is? And you say that frequently. Yeah. Peggy is a gift to me. She is not only a gift, she is perfect. Perfect. Exactly what I need. But she's not perfect. She's perfect. Did you see the difference? She's not perfect. She's perfect. In other words, to the eyes, she doesn't have to look perfect to be perfect. She's a perfect gift. She's wrapped up funny. So I can't see what she is as a gift by the wrapping. I have to say what God says. She is a gift to you. Perfect. So therefore I call her perfect. She can tell you, I never criticize her, whatever. She's perfect. She's just the way she is. I don't want her to be nice or anything. To be whatever she wants to be. So that's what makes every marriage here solid ground. You see that? You have a foundation under you. Same with the political house. You have to realize the political house was always intended to sit on two foundations. Number one and number two up there. Number one is religion. Number two is morals. Now, I didn't say Christianity. I just said religion. Every nation gets to decide which religion it wants to sit on. General religion, you're going to have it whether you like it or not. Let's say you're an atheistic country like Russia was. Or you're an atheistic country like France was during the American Revolution. Okay? Sit on it and see how it works. When you're a humanistic, man is the measure of all things base. You have nothing and it will always become a tyranny. Every time. So, always humanism turns into tyranny. Whenever man rules, it's always going to be tyrannous. That's why your marriage has to be of God. Now, you don't need both parties to agree to that. If you're the Christian, you're all you need. All you need is one person. Yeah. I believe in God, and I don't need my husband to make me happy. Trust in the Lord. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. The Lord is all you need. Amen? So the same as in marriage, so also the same as in a political house. Now the political house is built directly on top of morals, which that's the most direct, right there. The most direct is that politics is just a portion of morals. But morals have a foundation called religion. And there are no morals. I'm going to say it again. There are no morals without a religious base. You have no God, you have no morals. You have no God, you have no morals. Now, the French argued with that. And they said, no, we could have morals without God. And they chose then the goddess of reason, man's own reason. And so they decided that reason would be enough. That would be sufficient. So they tried to build, and they argued about this, and the Americans argued back. The Americans said you have to have God as your foundation. So God and government are always joined. So if somebody says God and government are joined, I totally agree. Like the foundation to the house. But if somebody said Christianity and government are joined, I say absolutely not, ever. They must always be kept separate, absolute, 100%, because he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. She can have no contact with this world. None. Zero. So you have to have three churches. Now, what I'm saying is revolutionary, but not to the founders, only to this generation. It's revolutionary, but not to the Lord Jesus in the first century. And by the way, not even to Caesar. Caesar, who is not only Imperium, but he was also Pontifex Maximus. That means he was the high priest of the Roman religion. But when Christianity came along, Tiberius Caesar, who lived at the time of Jesus' destruction, Tiberius Caesar agreed that Jesus was a god. And he was amazed, and he said, I want Jesus to be part of the pantheon. I want him to be part of the pantheon. And you know who testified to him? Not only Pontius Pilate, but also that guy called a centurion underneath the cross went to Rome and made a personal witness to the emperor. And he went to the Senate and said, let's make Jesus part of the Roman pantheon. Of course, that was wrong because Jesus doesn't want to be another god among gods. But that was him saying, I believe this Jesus really was powerful. Something amazing. And they refused. That's why the Roman Empire never became Christian. And when it became Christian, it didn't defy Rome, it defied God. Because God did not want a Christian Rome. So the Holy Roman Empire, for 1,000 years, from 300, when Constantine became the emperor, he made it officially the Roman Catholic Church, or the Roman religion. Now that actually took place in 381. But in 312, when he crossed the Rubicon and crossed over and had a battle at the Mulvian Bridge, he declared from that moment on, Christians will now be legal. That was the first time Christians ever became legal. Once you're legal, you belong to this world. So Pilate was smart enough not to do that. Pilate did not do it. He went out and committed suicide after Jesus' death. You may not be aware of that. But he was fired from his job, and he went to Gaul, and he killed himself because he didn't listen to his wife. Did you know that his wife came in when he was dealing with Jesus, and she said to him, I've had a dream. Now, you may think that that's a nothing, but in political terms in Rome, if somebody had a dream and the one who was judging could not decide which way to go, the dream was the decision maker. Or if there was an earthquake, the earthquake was the decision maker. Or if there was a mountain blew up, or some, you know, maybe the sun was darkened for a few minutes, had an eclipse. All of those things helped the man to make the decision, this is a bad omen or a good omen. Well, the wife came and said, I had a dream, Pilate. Have nothing to do with this man. He is righteous. And Pilate had already concluded he'd done no crime against Rome. So he had to go with her, both from his own examination that said, I take no jurisdiction over this man or over his cause. The cause is called rem. The man is called personam. So I take no jurisdiction in rem over the cause, nor over the person in personam. I deny myself that. But he went out and said, I find no crime in him. And the Jewish religious people said, no, you're not a friend of Caesar if you let this man go. And we'll throw a riot. You're going to be fired. And he said, oh, better for one man to die for all the people than for, you know, me to be fired. I don't want to be fired. This is my task, and I got to do well so I get promoted. Or maybe be a senator. Maybe it'd be something great. Instead, he ended up dead. Why? Because he recognized this was the Son of God. And when the centurion backed it up, and even Pilate himself said, I don't know about this guy. I don't know. I don't know who he is. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus said, you know, my kingdom's not of this world. John 18:36. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. That means the churches of his kingdom, which is us, cannot be part of this world. The churches of the kingdom. Every Christian church cannot be part of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. Another one, Romans 12:2. Be not conformed, even in form. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not schematize yourself to this world. So churches have to be absolutely, totally, 100% separated. Now, I could give you 50 scriptures. I've memorized them all. I could give you 50 scriptures why they can never be, you have to be free completely, totally, absolutely, without any contact at all. No taxes can be paid, no rendering. When you give a tax, you render it. You're rendering your property, you're rendering your person, you're rendering something. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. What belongs to Caesar is my personal tax, but not the church. The church raises no money that it raises for public purpose. So when a penny comes into this church, it goes immediately, it's dedicated at once. It's surrendered or given back. Apodidomai in the Greek. It means to give back what is not yours, but you have it in your hand. Give it back to the one to whom it belongs. So when you give it to Caesar, that would mean people gave to Caesar. Impossible. The church can never give one dime to Caesar because Caesar's public. He's a public legal thing. He's not of the kingdom of God. Everything that comes in the church has to be holy. Everything that comes in the church is spiritual. Everything that it's not mine. I can't even decide what to do with it. It doesn't belong to me. I'll take a fourth of that. No, you can't do it. It's not my business. Amen? And if the church were broke, I would take not a penny, not a dime. Let it be broke. And it's getting there. So just remember that when you chip in today. If the church were broke, I wouldn't take a dime, nor would I tell you. I wouldn't tell you. But you just simply keep going. Do you all understand? It's easy to do it. Did you know that no matter what, God is our supply? My God shall supply all your needs according to His poverty in heaven. No. The guy is rich beyond measure. If he wants to sustain something, then he has no right to claim that the church is his if he won't sustain it, or defend it, or protect it, or prosper it. So God is our complete defense, our rock, our refuge. Someone who defends us from all takers. Now let's say the state would decide we want to take you. By the way, most churches do belong to the state. In fact, almost every church in the United States today belongs to the state. Not every, but almost every. We don't. Since we don't, that means they can do nothing. We don't have a name. We don't have an address. We have nothing of this world. We belong entirely to God. You say, well, why don't we call ourselves? You can't call yourself. Only God can give you a name. And since He has never named any church in the Bible, never. He just called it the Church of God. Well, that doesn't distinguish you. The Church of Christ, that doesn't distinguish you. The church that meets on such and such street, but has no address, and there's no name. It's always generic, it's always descriptive, it is never specific. And that's true in the Old Testament as well. Now, when God separated the church, He wants the church to be free. So first thing is pure doctrine, second thing is holy life, and the third thing is you have to be completely free. The churches must be free forever. Now, today the churches are not, they're whores. What do I mean by a whore? That means someone that's married to someone and then starts whoring or prostituting themselves with another. Now, the Old Testament bride or wife of God started whoring with Nebuchadnezzar and all of the gods of Baal, all the Baalim gods. By the way, there's only two religions in the world, Baal and Christianity. No other religions. There are no other religions. So Old Testament Judaism was the same thing as Christianity in its purest form. But they kept whoring themselves, and so God divorced His Old Testament wife. Why did He do it? Because she did not want to be kept. He didn't divorce her like, I can't stand it because you're sinning. What He did was say, I can't stop you from your lovers. If you want to go with them, go with them. Same thing with a Christian. If your wife or husband wants to leave, you can't stop them. You cannot force them. Now, you don't leave. You suffer. Amen? Isn't that exciting? You see that? You get to grow up. You get to say, look, I'm going to put up with this no matter what. Because I'm not after happiness. I don't even have a life of my own. I come in the name of the Lord, Jesus said. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Happy is the one that comes in the name of the Lord. If you're in your own power, your own personality, your own strength, if you're not dead to this world, well then of course you wouldn't want to suffer. Because people that live in this world want to preserve themselves. But you and I don't care, do we? I heard a third of you. You and I don't care about suffering, do we? We don't care. We would rather be miserable in a bad marriage than we would defy the Lord. Amen? I'm going to ask it again because I just didn't get a big enough Baptist-type response. We would rather be miserable in a horrible marriage than to defy or turn away from God. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's how you grow up. You're dead to this world. And not only that, you're not allowed to frown. You can't even look like it's miserable. You have to rejoice. Woohoo! What makes you so happy? I have a miserable husband, but a wonderful Lord. It's okay. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. How many know you cannot control your wife? You can't. You cannot control your wife. How many know that wives cannot control husbands? There's no control. So the only thing you do is turn them over to God. May a bus ride over them. You know, something like that. But you cannot control people. God does not want you to control anybody. Let them go. If they want to go, let them go. But you tell them, I want you to stay, but if you want to go, don't think that I'm miserable living with you. I'm not. I'm actually rejoicing because I have Jesus. He is my entire life. And to be married to me would be hell for you if you don't love Jesus. Because all I am is Jesus. That's all. Peggy, to be married to me, she just has to love Jesus. Because I love Jesus. I love Him. I love Him. Now, that doesn't mean I'm perfect. I don't want to be perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not trying to be perfect. Why? Why? Because He is perfect. And He is my righteousness. And He went to the Father. And my righteousness is not here. It's there. But He liveth in me. And therefore, I'm perfect. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're not here. We're there. So because He went to the Father, that's all my righteousness. Right? You don't have any down here. The devil can't take it because it isn't down here. It's upstairs in the bank. It cannot be reached by any human being. Nobody can take away my righteousness. Even if I sin down here, that's not my righteousness. My sin is not the issue. It's His righteousness that I believe in. And when the Holy Spirit has come, He will convict the world of righteousness because I go to the Father. So your righteousness is with the Father. Isn't that amazing? You can never lose it. What joy to have something in the bank that no one can ever take. The stock market can never go down. Isn't that amazing? How much money do you have in the heavenly bank? Well, all my righteousness is up there. So it doesn't matter what I do down here. I'm not concerned about it. You might be concerned. I'm not concerned. I'm convicted that I did it. I confess that I did it. But I'm not concerned. Why? Because He's all my righteousness. And He's not only covered my guilt with the power of the Holy Spirit, He's actually able to change me and alter me. Beholding Him, I'm changed from one degree of glory to another. Now, here's what the song says. You know it. You know it well, don't you? My country, 'tis of Thee. Sweet land of bondage. No, sweet land of liberty. Now, where does he get liberty? There's only one place to get it, and that's you have to look to the foundation. Government itself has no liberty. It's a law thing. It's not a liberty thing. It's a law thing. And the only reason it lets someone go is because the people that made it said, you will not go there. Otherwise, they would completely conquer the church and take it, as every nation in the history of the world has done. But ours was the first nation in the history of the world that did not capture the church. Because the founders, who spoke for the people, and the people ratified what they said, said, let God's people go. Have nothing to do with religion whatsoever. They'll be completely separated, free, out of reach. Government will never be able to touch them. That's amazing. That's why our nation was and still is the greatest nation in the face of the whole earth. Nowhere has there ever been. If we were to perish tomorrow, no other nation could rise up to take our place. Not because of our power and our strength and our size and our markets and our satellites and whatever. It's because we are the only nation that believes in freedom. All other freedoms are relative. Ours was absolute. Why? Because religious freedom is the key or the basis to all civil liberty. Take away a religious liberty, you take away all liberty. There is no liberty. Even if they grant you liberty, they can take it back, and they will. Now, today they're trying again, the gates of hell are trying to capture the church of God. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Because I'll build it on a rock. Or what's the rock? These two are the rock right here. This is the rock right here, which fruits out in this, which then this is built upon. So this is the rock right here. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Why? Because we're saved by faith alone. Why? Because that's the way God set it up. So God wants to have pure doctrine, holy life, and free churches. The church must be a bride without spot or wrinkle. His church is his bride, his girl, his wife. Now, the Old Testament one whored, but the New Testament one cannot whore. The minute the bride whores, she's no longer a bride, she's a whore. And if she's not a chaste virgin, he will not take her when he comes back. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Isn't that powerful? Now, you are that church. I just told you where your righteousness is. Where is it? It's up in heaven. So you don't have to worry, oh, if he comes back, I wonder, I'll be a whore. I think I'm a whore. No, you're not a whore. Just because you've sinned is no problem at all, because your righteousness is there in Christ. You don't have your own righteousness. You can't establish your own righteousness. You don't want to rely upon your own righteousness. You don't have any. God is good. None is good but God. No one is good but God. Therefore, all your goodness is upstairs with God, and no one can take it. It's earning right now all kinds of interest. You don't have any idea how much you have upstairs. But it's everything that Christ is, and when he comes back, we shall see him as he is. It does not yet appear. It doesn't appear right now what we shall be. But we know that when he appeareth, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. You see, you don't look like him now because you're packaged funny. But you actually are already pure because of what's in heaven, which is your life. Your life is hid with God in Christ. Your life is not here. Your life is not here. That's why you don't want to be your life down here. You don't want to be Jim. You want to be Jesus. You want to be Jesus. You come in the name of Jesus. You want to use his name for everything. So Peggy didn't marry Jim. She married Jesus in Jim. And I didn't marry Peggy. I married Jesus in Peggy. Isn't that powerful? So that means don't mistake the glory that you have. Don't misunderstand the glory. Now, let's read, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing." Well, that's patriotic. That has nothing to do with Christianity. But listen carefully. Now, he says something about freedom's holy light. What does that mean? A holy light is different than political. So now, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing." Then what? "Long, long may your land be bright with freedoms," now he jumped over, "holy light. Great God, our King." Ah, now he's jumped all the way to God, God Most High. So the foundation that Abraham was looking for was a city with foundation, which means religious and moral absolute. The true religion, Abraham was the man of faith. The true religion, Abraham was the man of faith. We are the first country that built, even the Jews didn't build it on this. We are the first country that ever built this nation on faith, the true religion. Now it's been watered down. Now we're trying to include everybody. Even the president's all mixed up on it. Everybody's screwed up on it. It's okay. They all went to Harvard and Yale like I did. And they learned the new way, the Baalistic way. But don't worry, they'll lose, I'll win. You will win if you stand with the truth. But you'll also suffer. You ready to suffer? Are you excited about that? Amen. Just being in this church, you're already suffering. It's part of the blessing. It's part of the blessing. Oh, it's a joy to suffer. Is it not a joy to suffer for the Lord? Well, the early church thought it was wonderful to suffer for the Lord. Now, don't suffer for your own sins, but suffer for the Lord. So you're suffering for your own sins. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking because you love the Lord, anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. Isn't that amazing? Anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. So you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted. I want you all to say this. I love to be persecuted. That's good. I wanted you to say that, not because you meant it. I know you lied. But you just said it because I made you say it. But the truth is, you're not afraid of suffering. Why? Because the sufferings of this world are not to be compared to the glory that's yet to come. And if you don't suffer with Him here, you will not be glorified there. So I want you to go through the fire. The father that loves his son chastens him, puts him through the furnace, beats him, spanks him, whips him, and beats him to a pulp. Amen? That's the holy place. First of all, the flour is beaten. That's on the table. Then the oil is beaten. That's the candelabra. And then the incense is beaten. Everything is beaten in the holy place. That's the church, where we beat everybody. Isn't that exciting? Until your old man doesn't exist. Take up your cross and follow me. Not his cross, your cross. His cross, he's already done for you. Now, your cross, that's you dying to self, denying yourself, not being a self any longer, being a trustee for God. So you don't own anything, you don't have anything. That's why I have a perfect marriage. A perfect marriage because I don't own her or control her or want her to be anything. I want her to just be whatever she is. I don't want her to be anything. She's a gift. I'm not going to question the one that gave it. Isn't that powerful? That's powerful. See, that's death. Did you feel the death that took place right there? Because I can't then leverage against her. Well, Peg, you know, your job is to do thus and so. I've said that many times. It goes nowhere. You know, that's your job, Peg. Yeah, what about your job, she'll say. And so I realize there's no point in going that direction. You can't make people do their job. Has anybody tried that? You try to get somebody into, I'm just doing this for your good. I don't know, people resent that. This is for your good, you know. You just cannot make people do good. Have you ever noticed that? That's why you have to beat little kids, spank them, and, you know, no matter what you do, they still will disobey. Even if you beat them, they'll still disobey. And even if they don't outwardly, they'll do it inwardly. And you can make them go to the room and think about it, but they won't think about it except how to trick you the next time better. They're not going to think about anything. Hello! Amen. Only God is good. You're not good. Your kids aren't good. Nobody's good. Pastor's not good. Nobody's good. God is good. And God has chosen to live in us. And there's the miracle. There's the miracle right there. A city with foundation. Now look at this. See, Abraham went to Mount Zion to find this city, which had true religion and true morals. Did you know today that people do not believe there's such a thing as morals? They believe morals are relative. They believe that, you know, well, whatever goes. And so they're humanistic. Well, let's see. Today people are into homosexuality. Well, I'm not. I'm totally opposed to it. 100%. Evil, wrong, bad, nasty, no good. And not only that, I'm the same. I'm exactly the same. My sins are no different. You know, I'm not looking down on them. I'm just simply indicting them. Hey, you're wicked as I am. But you got Jesus to forgive you. I've told you this before. Number one man in Fort Worth. Number one homosexual. The leader. They got titles for these guys. He was the muscle-bound guy. Big, strong guy. I converted him. Had the church, biggest church service we ever had. All homosexuals in Fort Worth had to come to that service because he was the leader. And he became a Christian, and he told them they were wrong. And he said, furthermore, because he was the leader, you're going to come to my funeral when I die, and Pastor Jim's going to preach the gospel to you. And they all came. It was packed out. David, were you there? It was packed out. They were not only in all the seats, they were lined up thick along the walls, everywhere. The homosexuals are better church members than ours. They were awesome. They were all there. And I preached that gospel just like he said, just being obedient to what he said. You see, homosexuality is just a sin. It's a sin. But it is a sin. It's a sin. It's a sin. So people say you're born this way and all that. That's just a sin. I was born this way. It is a sin. I have a feminine tendency. It is a sin. In other words, you don't have to live that way. And God doesn't want you to. Who cares what you think you are? Who cares what people say you are? God says what you are. You don't know good and bad. You don't know right and wrong. God knows everything. God will tell you, don't do it. It's an abomination. Well, so is adultery. Well, so is stealing. Well, so is lying. Well, so is being a whore rather than a perfect bride. So, you know what? It's so easy for us to repent every day, don't we, Will? Every day. Don't you sin every day? Do you? Are you aware of it? Okay. And does your wife remind you? Yes. Thank you.
You did a very good job. That's very good. Now, because of that, you know, hey, all my righteousness is in heaven. Therefore, I can confess my sins just like that. Not only that, by beholding Him through the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us, I can be changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory to another degree of glory to another degree of glory until I am like Christ, which I will be, because He who began a good work in me will surely complete it at the day of Jesus Christ. When that trumpet blows, you'll all be perfected. You may not look that way today. Don't try to trump it up or try to build it up. You can't do it. He does it. He promised, not you. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it. That's the foundation. True religion, true morality produces the only political happiness there is. Now, I'm going to read to you from some of our founding fathers. This one's George Washington. Of all the dispositions and habits, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, number three, of all of them, religion and morality, one and two, are the indispensable supports. In other words, if you can't dispense with them, that means they're necessary. You cannot have a government that is worth anything under God without religion and morality in the base. They have to permeate the whole house through the foundation. So the foundation is here, religious and moral foundation for the political house, George Washington. Now, every single founding father agreed with this. And I'm going to read you as many as I can. Of all the dispositions and habits that lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are the indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim to be patriot who should labor to subvert, undercut, undermine, break down these happy pillars. There's where happiness comes from. There's where safety comes from. Not from guns. Not from, you know, corrupt politicians. Not from lobbyists. Everything comes from the foundation. Can you see that? These are the indispensable supports for political felicity. Felicity means happiness. You want to have political prosperity or felicity, you have to have these supports. No nation on the face of the earth, Israel was supposed to be built on the right foundation. She never got there. Because idolatry leads to immorality, leads to injustice. All injustice comes from immorality. All immorality comes from unfaithfulness because you have the wrong religion, idolatry. Get the right religion where it's not by works, but by faith alone. Ah, exactly what God is doing. So He's restoring in our day, not only not promising to restore, He is restoring in our day the true foundation. Religion and morality. So here it is, faith, pure doctrine, and now morality, holy life. Ah, produces free churches and a free state. The only state in this world that's free would be America, de facto, but it's not. It's only de jure. That is, legally, it's still a free nation. De facto, it's not. De facto, you become something totally other. De facto. I don't want to go into it, I just say it. So, you are no longer a free nation at all. And why? The fault lies not with the government, the fault lies with the church. Because the church has refused to be bridal. She has chosen to be harlotress, whorish. She has chosen to mess with and take some benefits. Remember, my God shall supply all your needs? What if you take a benefit like a 501c3? What if I take a benefit like a local tax exemption? What if I take a benefit like state incorporation? What if I take something from the federal, something from the state, and something from the local? Surely I have polluted myself. When God supplies all my needs, how could I take some needs from Caesar? Caesar offers these. There's no law that says you have to be 501c3 as a church. There's no law that says you have to be incorporated in the state. And there's no law that says you can have a local tax exemption. There's no law. It's just something you do so you don't suffer. The reason people don't do it is because they've been deceived into thinking, oh, if I take those, I won't suffer. Oh, yes, you will. That's why churches are being closed down, shut down by the thousands right now. And there are Harvard lawyers that have been trained only to do one thing. Just a mass of them sue churches. That's all. Now, they will never sue a real church. They can only sue incorporated churches. Did you hear what I just said? Now, let's say you decide, okay,
I will be called an unincorporated association. They will treat that as a corporation. Even though it's called unincorporated, they will treat it as corporated. And because you're ignorant, the people are ignorant, you'll go, okay. That's because you have a name. Because you did many hypocritical things, you were harlotrying. You were holding hands, kissing. Oh, I didn't sleep with him, but I held hands. I don't even want my wife to hold hands with another man. I don't want her to even kiss him. Not even on the cheek. Well, maybe. But you know what I mean? I mean, I don't want anything. I want my wife to stay separate. So we got a burker for her. No. But you see, it's the same idea. That the Muslims have the idea, if you're to stay separated, they want to remove them entirely. But you cannot do that. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. All right? These pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens, men and citizens, see the two? Men, one and two, citizens, three. See the two? Political is always the last thing. The first thing is the individual, then the family, then the church. And then finally, you got a nation. But a nation comes out of a people before they're a nation, which comes out of a tribe, which comes out of a family, which comes out of an individual. So you have the individual, then the family, then the tribe, then the people, then the nation. But when you become nations, sooner or later, everybody gets into a nation. That's what he's talking about. The mere politician, equally with the pious man, ought to respect and cherish these two pillars. A volume could not trace all their connections with private and public felicity, happiness. Let it simply be asked, where is security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religious obligation desert the oaths? So when you make an oath in court, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, where would that be if you're an atheist? Today, by the way, atheists can go to court. It is meaningless. And now they've even kicked the Bible out. Why? Because now it doesn't make any difference anyway. See, it's humanistic. It's just what they call positive law. Positive law means simply that there are no such things as absolutes. There are no laws that are absolutes. We don't even know if there's a God. Forget him. Don't even mention him. It's meaningless. So if you mention the Constitution or the Declaration, it's meaningless. And even though they may say Constitution, it's the one that they've evolved, not the original one. It's now seen in a different light. Now, my schooling at Yale, like the schooling at Harvard and every other place, is to completely replace the old. And I was a pagan of pagans. I was the most liberal. There was nobody more liberal than I at Yale. None. Nobody. And I was the most assiduous of all students. That is, I took more courses, more whatever, to be the top of the top of the top of the top. I would have been Antichrist had I known the job existed. I didn't even know. Did not know that that job existed. I would want to be the Antichrist. But Jesus Christ met me in 1964, early in the winter, and saved me. And deliberately ruined my entire career. Everything that I was heading for. I went ahead and finished up two more degrees, but it was over, and I knew it was over. Now that I'd met Jesus, I had to find out, wow, if there is a God, then everything I'm doing is wrong, and Yale is wrong. The very place that I love, now I will despise. Not as an institution, but I despise it for its policies, for its teachings. And I completely reversed against everybody at Yale. In other words, I went around and challenged every professor. I sat down with every single one, any visiting professor from Germany or wherever they were from, and challenged them all. And I became then a flaming evangelical. I didn't even know about charismatic at that point. Now I'm I went worse. Now I'm charismatic. Then I went even crazier. Now I'm New Testament. Just go all the way with Jesus. Because once you fall in love with Jesus and you find out what the full cost is, you go all the way. You're dead to this world. I'm not waiting for heaven to come along. I've started. Is anybody else in the Head Start program? You have to get into that little program that he's got. There's nothing keeping me from reading my Bible every day. Nothing keeping me from worshiping God. Nothing keeping me from loving my wife. No one can stop me since I have no fear. Let's say, what can man do to me? Well, he can kill me, suffer me, but I don't care about it. It's a joy to suffer for Jesus. Amen? I was a little weak. It's a joy to suffer for Jesus. Amen? You agree with that? Yeah. It's good. It's exciting. I can tell the excitement on your face. I love it. I love it. But that's all right. Don't worry about it. Pastors get it first. So you don't have to worry about it. And Bill will get it before I get it. So I'm okay. I'm in good shape. All right. Now, here's what he said. Let it simply be asked, where's the security for property, reputation, and life? If the sense of religious obligation, which now has happened, desert the oaths, which are the instruments of investigation in courts of justice. In other words, you cannot have justice unless there's a foundation. Higher law has now gone. It's gone. That means the common law above you. That means the natural law above you. That means the revealed law above you. Those are all gone. There are seven levels of law. They're all gone. Only the last one remains. There is no Declaration of Independence. There's no Bill of Rights. There's no Constitution. You say, oh, yes, there is. People use them all the time. Yes, in form. But in substance, only positive law now controls, which was the creature. Now it's the master. In other words, the one that was on the bottom has become the one on the top. So now whatever the Congress, whatever the lawmakers make, they don't care about the Constitution. They don't care what it says. They just ride over it. Why? Because they're controlled by lobbyists. They're not they don't even read those bills. You know that. They make no decisions. I'm just going to tell you right now, I've been involved for 25 years in politics here in Texas, but also nationally, I'm very familiar with it. They have committees that do everything. They have staff that does everything. And they have lobbyists that lobby those committees and those staff, and all they do is go and vote. And they often are told, don't vote. Just stay out. And so they don't even know what's going on. When you call your congressman to say, why did you vote this way? He either has to lie to you or he just tells you, I don't know, that's what my staff said. But he's going to lie to you generally and say, well, I felt it was in the best interest. They just make up some nonsense. Why? Because they didn't do their job and they know it. And the ones that do their job, and there are one or two, the ones that do your job get nothing done. They will never amount to a hill of beans. They'll go nowhere. The rest are all bribed. They've all been pedophiles, or they've all had sexual liaisons, or they've all done this or that, or so on. They've paid them all off. And once you bribe a justice, there is no justice. The only thing in the Bible that God cares about is when you pick men, make sure that they fear God, that they are trustworthy, and they won't take a bribe. There it is. And that's how Moses picked his able men, that is, people that were capable. Now, could we have that again? Yes, it's possible. Is it likely? No, it's not likely. The problem, though, isn't political. The problem's foundational. It's in the church. It's the churches that are not free. It's the churches that can't speak up. They are muzzled. LBJ. LBJ was one that muzzled the churches through the IRS so that they're intimidated. The pastors are intimidated. There are 300 churches in Fort Worth, like myself, who are not part of the state, who will not render to Caesar a piece of paper or a reply or anything. I won't even answer the mail. I'll just toss it in the garbage. But there are 300 of us, and they have come to me, and they have asked, what can we do? We do not want the IRS or the local tax appraisal board to destroy us. But they're taking away our churches, putting them on the courthouse steps, and selling our churches for the little tab that we owe and that we can't afford to do. Many of these are black churches. I met with Tom Franklin the other day. He's a black pastor. And he has a list of all these churches. He's going to gather them all together. We're going to meet with them and then meet with some representatives, some senators, and see if we can't get the law changed. But the truth is that it's the churches that are lazy. Not only that, the chief appraiser in Fort Worth in Tarrant County said, I don't know why it is you guys don't ever get together and overthrow us. It'd be so easy. Why complain? Just do something yourself. This is him. His name is Jeffrey D. Law. Jeffrey D. Law. Jeffrey D. Law. You get it? That's good. Anyway, so it's the churches that are lazy. It's the churches that my people perish for lack of knowledge. They are destroyed because they have no vision. They don't know what it is to be a church. Be free. If you had been free, there would not just be 300, there'd be 3,000. You know what will happen? Soon, there will be 3,000. Not only that, as soon as they find there's a way out, there'll be 30,000. There'll be no end to it. All of Texas and all of the United States, once they find out somebody anywhere has gotten free from the IRS, free from the local tax exemption board, all this appraisal stuff, and that churches don't have to get. Did you know that in 1982 this just started? Prior to that,
you went to the county commissioner and you said, we bought this property, and the county commissioner took it from there. You never went into the court. They took it from there and said, such and such has just done it, take it off the rolls, and there was no connection, no direct relationship to the state, no rendering, nothing. David, we've looked it up. We've gone to all the courthouses throughout Texas. He's gone to, what, 10 or more? And there has never been a church prior to 1982 that ever filed a form and had to qualify or ever paid a tax. Never in the history of this state, nor in other states also. I've studied the whole state of Virginia and so on and so forth. Never. That means churches have always been free to do what? To be left alone. But today, not one church is free. Today, they've captured them, except for the few 300. And in Dallas, I'm sure it's 500 or 700 who just simply won't do it. Either because they're ignorant or they're poor or because they believe that God won't let them. And they just simply defy Him. Actually, there are thousands. They just all haven't surfaced yet. But you will discover this is the battle. I'm going to say it as a prophet. Not only is this the battle, it's the only battle in the world today. Who has authority over God's church? None but God. Free churches as important as true doctrine. Now, here's what he says. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Now, can you have two without one? If you can't have three without one and two, can you have two without one? George Washington, clear as can be. You must have one and two under three, and you must have one under two. Otherwise, there'll be no two. Very clear. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, this means Yale, Harvard, all that stuff, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. You're not going to have religious principle in the political house influencing indirectly as light and salt. You're not going to have it. That's why this nation has prospered, and that's why it's going down the drain quickly. Why? Because you're going to lose everything. You're going to lose all your property. You're going to lose everything you had. You've now become a welfare state. There's not one shred, not one provision in the Constitution, Declaration, or Bill of Rights that allows us to be a welfare state. If you were a welfare state, that would mean the government had something to give. If they had something to give, that would mean they were a benefactor or an owner. The government owns nothing. It owns everything. You own everything. You, the people, but only in aggregate. So therefore, if we, the people, the government owns nothing. It can't give anything away unless the people say to give it away, and the people aren't saying to give it away. But the government is giving away as though they're the benefactor. That's why you have a welfare state. But it isn't my welfare state. I don't believe in a welfare state. I don't want to give away something to anybody. The Bible is very clear about that. Let every man depend on God. Then when God supplies, they give thanks to God. Now, if the government supplies, they'll thank the government. But those that get those benefits actually hate those benefits. And to hate the government makes them stand in line and all those things. So they've improved nothing. The poor are still with you. As Jesus said, the poor you will have always. You cannot make a benefactory state. The benefactor has to be God or the sovereign people that God appointed as his beneficiary to be a benefactor. But the government itself is just a creation of men. It never had an existence of its own, and it has no existence. Political house 3 is built on 1 and 2. 1 and 2 is in the people. All the power, all the sovereign political power lies in the people. It's resident in the people, and it comes forth out of this religious duty that I owe to God, out of this moral duty that I owe to my fellow man. All of this is built on that. If not, the city hath no foundation. Abraham was looking for a city with a foundation. In other words, Ur was a city with great foundations. So then why wasn't Ur good enough? Because he was looking for a city that had religious and moral foundations that are absolute, fixed, unchangeable, immutable, can never be taken away. That's God. God is the King. He is the Lord. He is the judge of the whole earth. He is the King. He is the Savior. He is all in all. He is the Most High God. Nebuchadnezzar found that out. Then the Persians found that out. Then the Greeks found that out. Then the Roman Empire found that out. And today, you will find that out as well. The gates of hell will never prevail against the Church of God. Without the true religion, you're not going to have true morality, and you're not going to have true political freedom or liberty. and therefore it's disappearing on the face of the earth. But I declare to you, because I don't have any more time, I declare to you it won't disappear. In fact, there'll be a revival. In fact, there's going to be a great, powerful revival. And God Himself is going to do a great work. And you're part of it. You are part of the army of the living God. So God is doing something in our day to restore the fullness to the church. Not only these three, but also global missions, Pentecostal power, church government in its right divisions and right shaping and form, and pure worship. That is the last and final thing. Now, all of these have been introduced to the church, but they're being reestablished right now in our midst. And that those seven things will restore the church to its original New Testament maturity? No. New Testament purity, but not maturity. The New Testament was pure, but it was not mature. It was never established. That's why it was taken over in the year 300. In the year 300, it was taken over. But God is going to restore it to His original intention, not to its original condition. So we will find, in our day, the Lord coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now, next time I'll read you what Jefferson, Madison, Adams, and these others, John Jay, what these other founders also said about us being founded upon religion and morality, but not being a Christian nation. Next time. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You that the Word has gone forth to renew and strengthen and guide and lead and transform pure doctrine, holy life, and free churches. We thank You, Lord God, that it is Your will that we be like a bride without spot or wrinkle. The body of Christ, He cannot be taxed. He cannot be trampled upon. He cannot be molested, controlled, interfered with. The body of Christ must obey the head, even Christ, so that we are subject to You and You alone, that we may give all, render all, give to all to You, O Lord, the glorious Most High God, who have come back to this earth to set up the kingdom of God forever and ever. And we give You praise in these last days that You are doing a most glorious work of restoration. Not only that, but all Israel will be saved. And Israel will come back, even those that today are in power in a secular nation, they will come back to the Lord God and worship Messiah. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed be He that cometh in the name of the Lord. Oh, I thank You, Lord God, that none of us acts in his own name, but we act in the name of the Lord. And therefore, we belong to You. And therefore, You will protect us, supply us, prosper us, and cause our enemies to fall at our feet. For the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. Give You all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Okay, if the men would come forward.